From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Stephanie Brush reading My Antonia by Willa Cather. Now let's begin with introduction. Last summer, in a season of intense heat, Jim Burden and I happened to be crossing Iowa on the same train. He and I are old friends. We grew up together in the same Nebraska town, and we had a great deal to say to each other. While the train flashed through never-ending miles of ripe wheat, by country towns and bright-flowered pastures and oak groves wilting in the sun, we sat in the observation car, where the woodwork was hot to the touch, and red dust lay deep over everything. The dust and heat, the burning wind, reminded us of many things. We were talking about what it is like to spend one's childhood in little towns like these, buried in wheat and corn, under stimulating extremes of climate, burning summers when the world lies green and billowy beneath a brilliant sky, when one is fairly stifled in vegetation, in the color and smell of strong weeds and heavy harvests. Blustery winters with little snow when the whole country is stripped bare and gray as sheet iron. We agreed that no one who had not grown up in a little prairie town could know anything about it. It was a kind of Freemasonry, we said. Although Jim Burden and I both live in New York, I do not see much of him there. He is legal counsel for one of the Great Western Railways, and is often away from his office for weeks together. That is one reason why we seldom meet. Another is that I do not like his wife. She's handsome, energetic, executive, but to me she seems unimpressionable and temperamentally incapable of enthusiasm. Her husband's quiet tastes irritate her, I think, and she finds it worthwhile to play the patroness to a group of young painters and poets of advanced ideas and mediocre ability. She has her own fortune and lives her own life. For some reason, she wishes to remain Mrs. James Burden. As for Jim, disappointments have not changed him. The romantic disposition, which often made him seem very funny as a boy, has been one of the strongest elements in his success. He loves with a personal passion the great country through which his railway runs and branches. His faith in it and his knowledge of it have played an important part in its development. During that burning day when we were crossing Iowa, our talk kept returning to a central figure, a Bohemian girl whom we had both known long ago. More than any other person we remembered, this girl seemed to mean to us the country, the conditions, the whole adventure of our childhood. I had lost sight of her altogether, but Jim had found her again after long years, and had renewed a friendship that meant a great deal to him. His mind was full of her that day. He made me see her again, feel her presence, revived all my old affection for her. "From time to time, I've been writing down what I remember about Antonia," he told me. "On my long trips across the country, I amuse myself like that, in my stateroom." When I told him that I would like to read his account of her, he said I should certainly see it, if it were ever finished. Months afterward, Jim called at my apartment one stormy winter afternoon, carrying a legal portfolio. He brought it into the sitting room with him, and said as he stood warming his hands, "Here's the thing about Antonia. Do you still want to read it? I finished it last night. I didn't take time to arrange it. I simply wrote down pretty much all that her name recalls to me. I suppose it hasn't any form.